Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Altar versus altar. This is my take on it. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 17. Acts 17, and I'm reading from verse number 16. Acts 17, 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw that the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others said, "He seemeth to be a setter of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We should know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which they spend their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Then Paul, everybody says, "Then Paul." Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God,' whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all the things therein, see that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. See, he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell in all the face of the earth, and hath determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him," I love this part, "for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, 'For we are also his offspring.' For as much as we are in the offsprings of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of ignorance God winked at, but now," everybody say, "but now," "but now commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he would judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he giveth assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear this again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, among which Dionysus and Areopagus, Pagat, had, and women, and Damaris, and others with him. Hallelujah. The story is very interesting. It is also very clear that, I don't know whether the city or the country of Athens still exists today. Does it exist? Okay, good. So the Athenians who were genuinely seeking for God, erected an altar. And they put the inscription on that altar to the unknown God. Which means their heart was sick, they were seeking for something. They knew that a supreme being exists somewhere. But they don't have an idea where he is, what is his name, where does this, they have no clue. So they genuinely said, erected an altar and said on that altar, to the unknown God. But they believed that there is a God somewhere. So in their ignorance, they erected an altar, made sacrifices on the altar, worship the altar, worship things, and did so many things until Paul took the gospel to the Athenians. Say amen. They dwelt in darkness until light appeared. And the Bible said, and he stood on the mass hill, which is now the altar of God, and preached Christ and the resurrection. And many mocked, many believed, many were confused. Anytime the gospel is preached, you have these people. Say amen. Some believe, some mock, some say, we shall hear this matter again. Because they have been so addicted to their own altar, their style of worship for years. So the preaching of Paul was strange into the ears of the Athenians. It's the same way with us as Africans. That many years ago in the 7th, I don't know whether 16th, 17th, 18th century, we didn't know God. So we erected altars, we trees, rivers, we created our own image of our own God. There must be a God. Everybody must worship something. When I went to the UK, there's a brother who I knew who doesn't go to church. Then he said, oh, I watch football every Sunday, and that is my religion. So that is my religion. That is also a religion. That is also, I worship football. I'm devoted to football. So he doesn't go to church. So they see football as what? A religion. So everybody is worshiping something. Everybody believes in something. So our fathers had trees, rivers, images, monuments, built altars. They sacrifice. Anytime the word altar is mentioned, the next word you hear is sacrifice. That means in an altar. Without a sacrifice, there's stone. It's just a stone. And they sacrifice on it. And you see, listen to this very carefully. Demons and devils, in our ignorance, enter into these altars and manifest themselves. So that you can put a dead dog on an altar in a village and the dog will resurrect. You can take pieces of meat, cut them into pieces, put them on the altar, and the meat will start frying without fire, without oil. You will hear shh. It's frying. They can carry a basket and put it on an altar in a particular village and then they will carry the basket to the riverside and fetch water with it, and the water will not spill. Can you ordinarily, can you take a basket to the river and fetch water? Yeah. So spirits and demons enter into this order. Power into this order. And so that stir up the belief and the faith of our forefathers. Because there was no, they didn't know any other God. They didn't know any other whatever. Until missionaries came from Basel, missionaries came from England, Germany, places, came to our coast and preached Christ unto us. Because we also had written on our altars to the unknown God. So we created our own names for them. And guess what? They manifest. Now, I don't joke with it though. When they carry you to some of these altars, you better be a prayerful person. These altars receive sacrifices. They are alive. That is what makes it very difficult for people to change from worship of idols to Christianity, because they have seen power at work. Yes, there is a certain village in our country. When you go to market, you see the way you go to market, and then you, I didn't even say anything to you. And when you go to market and everything, who the cow fit? They don't cover their things. They don't cover their things. They don't hide it. When he closes from the market, he just goes home. You cannot touch his goods. You can't steal it. If you go and touch it, you know that there is power. Nobody is still there. You will be as you are carrying the basket of onions, you will be stuck to the basket till the following day when the owner comes. When you see a beautiful girl walking around and is somebody's wife, it's called stay away. If you go and sleep with her, you'll be stuck until the husband comes to release you. Yeah. It's called stay away. You think that you are a smart boy, whatever, you are going to sleep with somebody's wife. You are finished. One day somebody heard that a very smart young man has come from abroad and is sleeping with girls and has gone to sleep with his beautiful wife. When he heard it, he said, oh, that will be the last time he will sleep with a girl again. The guy didn't say anything. He wasn't angry. He didn't shout. He just went to his altar and made sacrifice on his altar. Say amen. And said, spirit, let that guy not sleep with anybody's wife again. That's it. The guy slept. When he woke up, all his bolomolo had become blisters. He was alive and his bolombolo was getting rotten. Went to hospital, they treated him with infection, as they are treating the thing was rotten. Until his whole bolombolo was gone. It's called powers. This is what Paul described as principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. That is, it exists. Don't deny it exists. It exists. They can tell you. Somebody can take a sharp knife, cut his tongue, chop it into pieces, put it on paper and show it to you. And you see the tongue jumping on the paper and blood kept coming out of his mouth. Then you put the tongue back in his mouth and there will be no stitches, but the tongue is back. It's normal. It's called power. You are either in Christ or... So it's called altar versus altar. So you today sitting in church, through the preaching of the gospel, have moved away from this altar. And now you have found the altar of God. Now listen to me, my people. You cannot mix the two. You cannot be at the altar of God and still be at another altar. For if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, everything has become new. So I don't see you going back to your village and still go and bow down to another altar. You have found Christ, and Paul stood on the Mars Hill and preached Christ to the people. Say amen. Yeah, you cannot mix the two. A mixture of the two will be too deadly for you. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. How long will you be torn between two opinions? How long? And there are people still in our churches who want to preserve the altars of Baal, the altars of their village, and still hold in their right hand or their left hand the altar of God. So you worship here a little, and you worship there a little. You are playing a dangerous game. You are in total error. And as your pastor, I have come to tell you, decide today whom ye shall serve. Yeah. Because it is the altar of your village versus the altar of God. And as for the altar in your village, you see, all our villages have altars, whether we like it or not. They are family altar, they have personal. That is why one day I went to one of my pastor's house and I was very impressed. He was showing me all his rooms, his dining, his first kitchen, second kitchen, first hall, second hall, first bedroom, second bedroom, guest room. Then he opened another door. He said, this is my place of my altar. It's a prayer room. He said, this is my altar. And I was very impressed. Next time an architect is designing a house for you, tell him you should add your prayer room. Double garage, double kitchen, wet kitchen, dry kitchen, and all the kitchens. But where is your altar of prayer? Am I talking to somebody here? Yeah. Thank you, Papa. Say amen. Yeah. And don't make a mistake. Don't make a mistake about some of these altars. They are very powerful. And they are alive. And they are working. That is why, you see, when you are working in an office with a colleague, you have to find out whether the colleague goes to church, does he serve God? If the colleague doesn't serve God, does he go to church? Don't think he or she is sitting in that office neutral. There is something he is connected to. It is Shewusapomunso. Connect to God. Because he who is above all. Above all. The Bible says that he is far above all principalities and powers. And as, you see, that is why the resurrection of Christ is the most powerful event in Bible history. Yeah, there was also, when he went into hell, snatched the power from the enemy, broke the neck of the enemy, then came out and said this, all power belongs to me. I mean, was all power. And then he transferred. I'm speaking like a Nigerian. Transferred the power to the church. He transferred. The power to the church. And the church is not a building anymore. Know ye not that ye have become what? The temple of the Holy Ghost. Christ in you. That is why the Bible says that now therefore, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Because now, all power is going to. That is why when you stand in your house, in driving in your car, or in the church, and you raise your right hand or left hand and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority. The demons and devils know who you are and what you are talking about. I take authority over all powers of darkness. I subject them to the blood of Jesus. And I decree and declare. You see, you do it with authority, conscious of the fact that Jesus won it all. And you are connected to the altar of Christ. By divine authority. Say amen. And you are a child of God. And listen to me. You must never entertain the fear of the devil. Colossians 2. Oh, I love it. I'll show you two scriptures in Colossians. Colossians 2. Verse 12 and 13. Buried with him in baptism, where also ye are risen with him through the faith of our operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. 13. And ye being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, had he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. 14. Blotting out the handwriting ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing to the cross. 15. Next verse. Next verse. Maybe this is frozen. The Bible says, and having what? Spoiled what? Principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Another version says that he disarmed principalities and powers. Say amen. Look at the next verse. He disarmed his wife. He said, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holiday or the new moon or the Sabbath. That means that you are no more under the governance of don't eat meat on Tuesdays. When you are coming out of your house on Wednesday, turn back west. When you wake up on Thursday, jump 7 times to the left, jump 7 times to the right. You are no more under those judgments. For he has disarmed principalities and powers and made a show of them openly. You see, if Christ were not to be on our side, they would have fried you long time ago. You have been paralyzed. All those near accident syndrome that you have been having, they would have been putting flowers on your grave. It is because of the power of God that you are still sitting here this morning worshiping the Lord. 1 Colossians 12. Colossians 1. Colossians 1 12. Look at what it says. I love it. Colossians 1 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light. Who has delivered us from what? The power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of Jesus. You have been translated into the kingdom of Jesus. Let me tell you something. God, who is all powerful, all knowing, all present, is he going to sit down
for a witch at Endor. Endor is in the Bible. It's not in somebody here. So, don't want troubles. A witch at Endor to come and harm you. Is my God so weak that a witch from Endor who can't read and write doesn't know your righteousness in Christ come and spoil your house? It's never possible. He said, look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even what? The forgiveness of sins. Look at the next verse. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Hallelujah. Oh my God. By him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. By him and for him. The small tiny God from your village cannot have power over you. These images came up because of ignorance. We didn't know. But now we know. We to the unknown God. But now that God has been revealed in us. Now we know. I remember my twin brother when we were about 12 years old. Okay, we were born 61. You did my practice in university. We were born 61. And 1974, my father, so we were 13. Yeah. My father was selected Mathematics. My father was selected by the government to go to Scotland Yard to go and study fingerprints. He was the top number one expert in fingerprints. The whole Ghana. It was a forensic training and all that. So when there's a crime here, my father would come and powder the whole place, pick up fingerprints, analyze it, tell the court that the person who committed this crime 10 years ago has committed the same crime. He's the same guy. Yeah. He was in the police service. Very top position. Rose up from sergeant to inspector to chief inspector. He went to whatever. And I still remember when the news came into our village that my father was going to Scotland. The whole village appeared in my house. They came with a bobo group. It's because nobody goes abroad. There's nothing like that. So it was like the first one going abroad, jumping. We all went to the airport. Wave. My father had two handkerchiefs. You know, those days when you are going to board the aeroplane from the beginning, then you wave. My father had two handkerchiefs. Then you wave. Then you move across, small. And then you turn around and then wave. Then you go out. Then you started boarding the aircraft. Those days called British Caledonia. Then we would board the aircraft and then stood on the aircraft, then wave, and then he went down the last door to the aircraft. Then this time, no. Just a mikwablo chiriaba. And then the bobo were singing. Everybody, I've never been so happy and so proud because I felt very important in my area that my father has gone to Scotland Yard. It's a very, very, it's today, it's nothing, but those days, it was something else. My father has gone to Scotland, yeah. It was a great news all over. Everybody in my school knew that my father was going abroad. Then he went for, how many years ago? Four years or something. Yeah, some number of years. And then now he wrote to us that he was coming. Oh, we gathered at the airport. My grandfather, my grandmother, my aunties, everybody. Then, as soon as he came out of the aircraft, he's two white handkerchiefs. He's like, Chale, yabo, yaba, yabo, yaba. They took him, and this was the strangest thing I've ever seen in my life. When he arrived and he went home, the following day, they bundled my father straight to the village. The following day, we're young, we're 30 years or something. And the way as soon as he ended, my mother as our we were all we were disarmed. You have no say where we have reached you. I smiled in critical. Whilst we were packed somewhere, they kill a sheep. They put blood on the ground. They step in the blood. They put things around his neck. They did this. They pour libation. They did rituals. My father said that the gods have taken him to see to man. That means that beyond the sea, and whatever, and they have brought him back safely. They waited, the whatever, they drummed me, they brought a huge pot. I've never seen a huge pot of pito like that. They brought pito, they drank. My father was dressed in a certain way. Whatever, they pour libation, they did everything. In the town, the whole town was in frenzy. They sacrificed my father to an altar. We poured blood on the altar, poured blood on his feet, poured blood. And we were very young, just looking. We had not seen my mother there. She was like, "Shall you pack yourself so where we have reached you, you don't have anything to do here." Then after a week or two, we came back to Accra. Guess what? My father was never the same again. He was never the same again. That was the beginning of his end. All day, he became a drunkard. He left his wife, neglected his children, refused to pay fees, refused to take care of the house. When they married another woman, just after you have come back from Scotland, where there should be a promotion, he was on his way to becoming an IGP or somebody important. But they sacrificed him to an altar. Neglected his family, started drinking, wasn't interested in his work anymore. Doesn't work anymore, wouldn't go to work. Always drunk, and he will sing 1 mile away, and you better open his door. Because if the door is not open, you kick the door. Throw all the food around everything. Had drinking friends. They took him, poured blood on. So when you are in church and you still go to your village to go and do sacrifices, you are mixing the two, and God will not have it. So don't play games with God. My father was a devout athlete. Goes to mass. That is after my three mother and I, at the age of 9, we were mass service already. We are the one who lead the archbishop from his sacristy, from his house to the sacristy. Dominus from the spirit is to stand to, you know. Yeah, we are mass service. Archbishop Dominic Quejo Kando, who were his master, who were his constant, because we were twins, we were the most identical twins in Africa. My seven standing when we were 12 years old. They had an exhibition and brought all twins from Africa, and we are just the most identical twins. The only difference was our thumbprint. Mine was loop, he was arc. Everything was the same. So we're devout, you know. With any sense every day. My father stopped all that. They didn't go to mass anymore. Doesn't go to church anymore. Bro, he will be at the village with his new wives. Drinking pito, he would drink and fall into a gutter. He would drink and vomit all over. He would drink and until now he takes fufu, the fufu, and put it in the water. He must wash his hands. He must wash his hands. And then wash his hands in the soup. He became totally blind to his family. He bought a car. The car never arrived. He bought a car. The car never arrived. His life was never the same. He left the altar of God and went back to these altars. Be careful what you do in your place. Be careful. And I'm telling you that these altars in these places too, they are not jokers. Oh. They are powerful. But he who comes from above is above all. Say amen. So if you are a Christian,
be a Christian. Stay with the blood of Jesus. Stay in the word of God. Commit yourself to prayer and fasting. Don't mix the two. It doesn't work. You will never be the same. My father, who used to pay our fees, goes to PTA, follow us to church on Sunday. It is you don't have to be told, you don't have to be, are you going to church or not? No. It's automatic. I'm going to church. Not today, children that they are in their room. I'm not going to church. No. You are following. My father was a devout Catholic. Goes to mass. And when we are seated, this is me, this is Charles, you know, I have an elder brother called Charles, Steve, and then Stanley, then my mother, family, and we are in church every Sunday without him. After the Scotland Yard, after coming from England, after going to the village, and they offered him to the altar, he was never the same again. It took over him. Everything changed. Me, I am standing on this altar to tell somebody, don't play with God. Don't compare God to the God of your village. Don't say that I need the two to survive. You don't need the two to survive. God is your sufficiency. God is your all. You don't need help. God does need help to protect you. We are inscribed in the palm of his hand. You are the apple of God's eye. You are watched by angels. Let me show you a scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes. Okay, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, 8 to 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, 8 to 10. Look at it. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it. And whoso breaketh an edge, a serpent shall bite him. Don't dig a pit. In other words, don't go do anything else. Look at the next verse. Whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. If the iron be blunt, then he do not whet the edge, then must he put in more strength. But wisdom is profitable for what? To direct. Don't dig a pit, because you shall fall into it. Don't break the edge. As you are here now, there are ethical boundaries. Don't break that edge. Going to find some other powers to add to the power of God. A serpent will bite you. Don't cross the line. Stay within the game plan. Say amen. Are you a Christian? Devote yourself to God. To prayer, to word, and to fasting. Then you will see who God is. The reason why sometimes people say, I've been in the church, I don't see anything, is because you are wishy-washy. You are wishy-washy. You are not committed. I have friends, relatives. Today they are in church. The next day there's some festival being there, whatever. They just go, and when they go to their festival, they forget about God. They put God on hold. They are talking to dead bodies. They are performing rituals. They are doing this. They are doing so many things. They are drinking, whatever. You are joking with God, and God is looking at you. When you have a baby, then you call for people to come and do things. So when you have the baby, call for the elders of the church. Call for your resident pastor. Do the whatever, baby dedication, whatever. Stop all those rituals because you don't belong there anymore. You don't belong there anymore. Some of you, when there's a funeral in your village, when we see you, we will not recognize you. We will not recognize you. Ushishenyama, you are almost 90% naked, wearing beads and things, making your daughter swallow 3 eggs, sit on a stool. My daughter, you don't belong there anymore. All those of you in this church who are mixing things, Munye, be careful. Munye, then, be careful. You are joking with God. These days, we have people in our churches who don't value God anymore. They are in church. They are still in the world. They are still dabbling the world. They are still drinking with the world. They are still fornicating with the world. They are still flirting with the world. They are painting shrines. They are doing things. They are mixing. They are in church, but they are mixing. You are the secretary to the association of your village or whatever, and you are now ordering whiskey, beer, and how we can pay shrines and things, but you are in the church. There are some positions. You must step down out of those positions. They are not godly. It's not Christian. You must declare today where you belong. And I don't apologize for what I'm saying. If you want to belong to the demonic world, belong there. And see where you end. I've seen it with my naked eyes. Okay, to when my father came back from the village, something covered his eyes. My father, who doesn't play with education, doesn't play with our welfare, doesn't see us anymore. My father was the proudest person among his family members. We were the most celebrated twins. Now we have to fend for ourselves. We have to leave the house and go and live with a friend. And what we went through, we're living with that friend. We became house boys. I went to teach at 3D High Class 2. Class 2 teacher. I was on my way to become a medical doctor. Medicine was in me. Dr. Steve, that is why I'm not surprised that today I've received the title doctor. Yes. Yes. Everybody knew in my family that I wanted to become a medical doctor. Yesterday I was on the grounds and Dr. Ampoma, the CEO of whatever, was with us at the grounds and I was showing where we are going to build the 5 specialized hospitals at the Ability Village. And I was telling him my vision for the village and the vision for the medical center, prosthetic center, that in our days there will be no more amputee walking with one leg. They will see prosthetic leg, prosthetic arm, prosthetic eye. That big hole in the eye shall be no more. Children who are deformed. Yesterday we were discussing, I said, I need a CEO for my hospital arena. Yesterday we were on our feet for 6 hours planning, strategizing. Dr. Amegashiti and the co were there preparing for the groundbreaking of the Ability Village. There are some 3 millionaires who must arrive for the groundbreaking. Lord, I release those millionaires. They are billionaires who are coming. They will come to build it. So the doctor that I didn't become, now I'm not only a doctor, I'm building the hospital. The glory of God. Spiritual doctor. Stop peddling with worldly things. Stop attending things that are unbiblical and unspiritual. Even when you go to these meetings and things, you sit your somewhere and you pray in tongues and pray the Lord.
Don't say that, well, the Bible said that give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and we give unto God. Please don't misquote scripture. They are talking about taxes and things. You are now, you are going to do some very foolish thing that you are quoting that scripture to support your ungodly character. I said, we are drinking, we are giving unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. On Sunday, I will go and meet Pastor Stephen, Pastor Stanley. Stanley will worship, Pastor Stephen will preach. Give unto God. You are deceiving yourself. You are digging a pit. You are breaking the hedge. There is an hedge. There are boundaries. Don't cross those lines. You have an altar in the house. When you come on Sunday morning, a big man like you, you're a managing director, but you come and you kneel before God and you offer your sacrifice at the altar. Ask the person beside you, which altar do you bow to? Listen, you can never have two altars. Don't try it. And there are some in this house, and I know it, who have two altars. The altar of God and some altar somewhere that you are sacrificing to. You are giving money to those altars. You are sponsoring those altars. You are giving secret money to some altar somewhere so that they can be praying for you. God is not enough for you in this house. You are not loyal to God, loyal to your ministry, loyal to your pastors. You are listening and going to other altars that you are not sure of. Is God half in this place? Is God, is he half in this place? Is he quarter in this place? Do you need another God from another place to add to the God in this house? He is all our sufficient. He's all sufficient. Are you here? You see, when it has to do with God, then I'm all out. Because myself and my twin brother, we are who we are today by the grace of God. Because the trajectory we were going, it was doomed for us until we found God. So, you know, me, I'm 61 years old. Me, my guys who are following me, they are 32, 30, whatever. I tell you that, they are tired, they are breathing. Now, Papa, you want to break all on my edge. You can ask my guys. I finished Friday service, came for midnight cry. I was here preaching from midnight, we finished at 5 a.m. Laid hands on people here, the power of God fell. People were manifesting, demons were leaving people here on Friday night. Friday morning, then by 8 o'clock, I was in our 4x4 on our way to Ability Village at Agotokope. Went in there and then did the demarcation planning. We were there for about 6 hours to 6 p.m. Then we left. You know that route, that central gospel route, traffic. Then I won't see what happened. Charlie, we got a bailout. Then I came home with all my sweat, I went to the lid of my bed and I fell asleep for my wife came. Are you not going to take a shower? So I went and took a shower, then went to my study to read my scriptures for this morning. As I was reading my scriptures, Rami Tonko, and I left the scriptures and went and slept. Woke up this morning, continue with my scriptures. And I'm not tired. And I'm preaching this morning. I'll preach again. And I'm told that I have a preaching at UPS tonight.
Is it UP? Where am I going tonight? There's some preaching. My wife went. You see, my wife went and did some manipulation. We have to go and preach for somebody. It's a special arrangement. He said, Steve, you have to do this preaching for me. Meanwhile, I have a meeting just after whatever. We are working for the Lord. Since I found God, by the grace of God, my zeal hasn't dropped like this. My zeal hasn't dropped like some people are controlling the Lord. You are going, no. You are in your department. You are backsliding from your department. You are serving God. You are a protocol. You don't do it anymore. What else are you doing? If you are not serving God, what else are you doing? Backslide from your department, backslide from whatever, just whatever, and you know you're offended. You know who is offended. You know offenses. And you have become a joker, you won't join anything, you'll be part of anything, you don't, whatever, you are just there. I don't want people to, because there's a place to stop all those nonsensical things that you are talking about. What have you found to do for the Lord? Do it with all your might. Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God with all thy strength, with all thy might, and with all thy soul. That's about stop joking with God. Who is offended? And Paul said, I am not. Have you found Christ? Have you found a ministry? Are you a deaconess? Are you a deacon? Are you protocol? Are you actress? Are you instrumentalist? What are you? There is this guy. Look, stand up. This guy. Applaud him for me. This guy. Calm down. Okay, to look for oil for me. Look for oil for me. This guy is a young guy. Plays the bass. Come from Heza. He's in school. We leave school and come and play for the Lord. We don't pay him. We don't do anything. He's just working for the Lord. He's zeal for the Lord. His parents are here. The parents are sitting somewhere. The sisters are here. Devoted. In school. As he's standing here, he has come from school to come and play for God. And go back after things. He's doing his master's. There is no way God will not bless this guy. No way. There is something he's leveraging on to become somebody. Are you a chorister? You wear uniform? Wear the uniform with pride. Are you a protocol person wearing whatever? That's it. I don't like the protocol. Those things. You're a child. We're a baby, whining, mommy. You're a child. Wipe your nose! Complaining, and you are dull, and they have to text you. You are on the WhatsApp page. They are saying that we have a meeting on Tuesday. You won't come. We have the meeting on Wednesday. You won't come. There is a retreat. You won't come. You are with your unbelieving boyfriend. Frying egg in shorts. Your shot is there with your boyfriend with the spaghetti top. And you have a meeting with your department. You are joking with God. Hey, I feel oil. Kneel down, you shall remember this day. When your prophet prophesies on you, for that which you have done for God, for your sacrifice, for your up and down, for serving the Lord, may the Lord lift you above many. May you be above your brethren. May the Lord lift you up and bless you and carry you more than you can imagine. I lay my hands on you and I declare that you shall be a blessed child. Your parents will be proud of you, for the Lord shall lift you up. For the sacrifices you have made unto the Lord, says the Lord. He is not persuaded. You don't force him. He and this guy, where is that guy? This guy, come here. Let me tell you. Yeah, this guy. He used to play at the midnight cry. Every midnight. Every night. 12 midnight, he said. You play, we'll be in the street. Then one day, we called him and we laid hands on him. Myself and Pastor Stanley, we laid hands on him. This Friday, he gave me mind-blowing testimony. Mind-boggling. He's telling me the doors opening, the blessings. He said, Daddy, I don't know what to do. Because I had a word for him on Friday. I said, come here. And I said, you, there are doors opening you cannot imagine. He said, Daddy, I can't handle the doors. He traveled, you wait 1 year and go to London and come. the guy's 2 days here, 3 days here, 4 days here, and back. And guess what? Every Friday, Sunday, he sitting here. I've never heard him complain, never whine, never anything. Does it take any money? Does it take anything? Nobody buys his petrol. You haven't discovered what it means to serve God. You have seen that, please say that. You have discovered your altar. I would have put the microphone for him to tell you what he told me about because of security reasons. Security reasons. And spiritual maturity. Yeah. Say amen. Every night. The way God has blessed me, I can say that, Stephen Stanley, they should take their midnight today. I'm not going. No, before he has appeared. So tell somebody, stop joking with God. Have you found an altar? Have you discovered altar? Stay within the altar and serve God. Serve God. Right now, we have Pastor Stanley has come out with another department. It's called the altar ministry. These are people. Put the altar ministry people on the whatever. These are people who have decided to raise altars in every village where we are going to do our crusades. They will pay for the lighting system, the strasses, the screens, and everything. It's a department. There are about 62 of them now. And next Sunday, we are inaugurating them. Join the altar ministry. You are paying for the altar that the men of God will stand on to preach the gospel. Be part of that altar. You are not doing anything. Join the altar ministry. I told them that, look, I'm a general pastor of this, but I'm part of the altar ministry because the altar that the man of God, I don't want to be part of that altar. There are people with life taking care of sick people, there are people in health ministry taking care of grains, there are people in whatever, but there is also what? The altar ministry. So you is not doing anything, that you are sitting quietly, with it. I don't want problems, I'm a very quiet person in this church, I don't want problems. So stop saying those things and serve God with something. The altar ministry people, they are supposed to ensure that the equipment to be used to do the altar, they carry it to the village where we are going. They make sure it is set up with the lighting system and everything. And if you choose to stay for the crusade, Father, if you can't choose, you just come back to Accra and go to your work. You have erected an altar for God in that village that we shall stand on the mass hill and declare the gospel. Join the altar ministry. Today, the altar ministry people are meeting after service at the restaurant. Join! Somebody asked me, can I be part of Lifeline, the altar? Yes! I'm part of Lifeline. I'm also going to join the altar ministry and health ministry. Let him give and support as God has blessed him. Stop sitting down doing nothing. That thing that is healed. Do something for God. And what you are doing today will serve generations. God bless you. I love you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.